Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents S'more Than a Feeling by Marika Ray. Narrated by Marie Hawkins and TJ Clark. Chapter 1. 5 years ago. Kiva.
Oh my goodness, Miss Lucy is going to kill me.
I didn't have much time to make things right. Despite the tough-as-nails narrative, Min had been screaming from the cave top since the dawn of mankind. Their damn swimmers were fragile little fuckers. 1 degree north or south for a minute too long, and they went belly up. I held the little plastic cup in a nondescript bag as far from my person as I could manage, while hustling down the road in my brand-new boots. They'd looked as cute as an Instagram influencer when I tried them on. But unbroken leather, plus a bit more than a kitten heel, and I was liable to pitch face first into a ditch before I got to Main Street and found someone to hitch a ride with. Damn car. I swear, that piece of shit is going to be the death of me. The scrub oak tree off to the left didn't answer, but I could have sworn she nodded those branches in agreement. She'd been witness to no less than 4 breakdowns on this road, either coming or going from my job at Coastal Fertility Clinic. I'd been trying to do something nice by insisting Lucy go home early to her precious kiddos and hot-ass husband. Transferring this sperm sample to the larger bank in San Jose for further testing that we didn't have the equipment for was on my way to the fancy restaurant my single friends and I wanted to try out tonight. Friday night in the city, baby. The perfect way to find a man. A man not from Auburn Freaking Hill, a.k.a. Hell. I may live here now, but my heart still felt at home in the big city. The echo of a door slamming had me jumping, the newly formed blisters on my heels groaning in protest. The door to Yetta's National Cat Protection Society gaped wide open, a sight that would terrify anyone from around here. Cats of all sizes and colors streamed out the doorway, their noses in the air, smelling the natural odor of freedom. And then the odor of freedom hit my own nose. Oh, dear God! My lips snarled up so violently, my eyes started twitching. Holy rotten eggs. That had to be a stink bomb. Nothing else could make that nasty of a smell. Get back here, my darlings! Yetta exited the building and waved her spindly arms in the air, spinning left and right, probably uncertain of which direction to go. The cats had scattered far and wide, all 100 of them choosing a different path to freedom. Need some help? I called out across the street, forgetting about my own situation. I could tell, even from a distance, her thoughts were frantic with worry over her cats. I didn't go around bragging about it, but I had a highly accurate telepathy. Came in handy with tricky relationship situations when I could read the other person's mind. Not so great when I got the real scoop on what someone thought of my new pants. Guess they did make my butt look fat. Yetta's head whipped over and she smiled that famous smile of hers. Even in the midst of chaos, she could spare a smile for someone else.
Oh, hi there, Kiva. I seem to be having some problems here.
I walked across the street after looking both ways. Kinda silly, since there wasn't much traffic along Brinestone Way late on a Friday afternoon. Yetta squinted her eyes and watched the last of her precious cats run all the way down the street to the famous roundabout. Hopefully they could navigate it better than Peggy Sue, the old lady who frequently found herself going round and round until her steering fluid ran dry. I see that. What happened? It was fairly common for a cat or two to escape, but all of them at once? That was a new one. I fluttered my hand in front of my face. The stench was stronger on this side of the road. Yetta's brightly colored lips opened and closed a few times before she started talking.
Well, I thought Poppy was delivering the mail. The little flipper-flapper thing on the front door flapped and in popped a little package. I went over to investigate, but then tripped over Frankie and ended up stepping on the package. The damn thing popped and out came a stench that seared off my eyelashes. I stumbled and grabbed the doorknob to keep from going down, but I guess the door opened and my poor kitties shot right out while my eyes were stinging. They didn't care for the stench either.
My head bobbed in sympathy. Her thoughts were scattered, but she kept coming back to one thought fragment that left me puzzled. But hey,
No judgies was my motto when it came to mind reading. Well, don't you worry, Yetta. I'll help you collect the cats and get you back to that porno you intended to watch this evening. Yetta's head swiveled so quickly, I thought it might just twist right off. Well, now I hadn't thought about that, but maybe that could spice up my Friday night plans after poker night with the girls. She patted my cheek. Such a thoughtful young lady. I smiled warmly at her, feeling better now that I'd laid her worries to rest. I gave her a confident thumbs up and hightailed it out of there. I had cats to wrangle and sperm to deliver. Several yards away from the society, the air cleared, and I could take a full breath again. Okay, new plan. I'd put the sperm back in the temperature-controlled chamber at the fertility clinic and collect cats. Then I'd go back and get the sperm and get it over to San Jose. If I hurried and the cat somehow came willingly, I could still make it before closing time. I put the sample back and texted Lucy to let her know what had happened with the cats. I'd just locked up the fertility clinic again when a guy with a black helmet peeked around the corner of the building, looking in the direction of the society. "Can I help you?" I demanded, hands on hips to look intimidating. Probably would have been more effective if I'd been taller than 5'2". The man startled and nearly tipped over. His denim-clad legs straddled a tiny banana-yellow scooter, the windshield of which did not come up high enough to protect his face. His bright blue eyes went wide underneath the black helmet.
Yeah, I'm new in town. I was looking for Main Street.
Oh, heavens. That voice flowed over me like warm butterscotch. Based on the thoughts running through his head, he most definitely didn't find my ass too big in these jeans. His thoughts were practically indecent, but maybe that was just me thinking a little too hard about the tattoos covering his forearms, or the way his t-shirt spread across his thick chest. I wanted to be straddled like that miniature scooter.
Ma'am?
I blinked hard and tried to corral my thoughts. Oh, yes. Well, this is Brinestone Way. Classic mistake, really. That roundabout sucks people in and spits them out in all kinds of directions. Main Street is that way. I pointed to the right, trying to be helpful. I pushed out my chest, shamelessly trying to get a ride. Any chance you can give me a lift to Main Street? I need to rally the troops to collect those cats and then hitch a ride to San Jose. He gave me the once-over, and if I wasn't completely insane, his eyes heated a few degrees. He nodded once, and I walked over, my boots no longer even touching the ground. As I came up along the scooter, I realized the ride-along idea might not be suited for this vehicle. Is there room? The man looked down like he'd forgotten his own steed.
Oh, shit. Yeah, sorry. My Harley is in the shop. This was their only loaner.
He swiveled and joined me in eyeing the tiny patch of black vinyl behind his own seat. That little cushion was definitely telling me my ass was too fat. Maybe I'll just call a friend instead.
Nah, we can fit. It's only a couple miles, right?
He patted the cushion and smiled. It was the smile that did it. I was a sucker for a good smile, and boy, did this stranger have a smile that could melt panties right off. If I was wearing any. Shh, that was my little secret. They said wearing sexy underwear made you feel more confident, but I found going commando was the real way to feel like you could kick some ass. At least I saved time and embarrassment from having to dig the cute thongs out from between my cheeks. I lifted one heavy leather-booted foot and straddled the baby beast. The tilt of the seat meant I slid right into the man, my crotch now glued to his impressive backside, sending off a fireworks display of tingles in my nether regions. Oh, I exclaimed on impact, wrapping my arms around his waist before I could talk myself out of it. Oh no, the man had abs, hard ridges of muscle that lay just below my hands. He chuckled, more of a vibration than a sound. But lordy, did it do wonders between my legs. How the hell did I end up on the back of a scooter, smacked up against some tatted-up biker dude who hadn't even given me his name? My brain scrambled, and I said the only thing I could think of. Does this mean I'm your old lady now, or is that not applicable for scooters? In my defense, it was the only biker slang I knew. He chuckled again, harder this time. I rode out the vibration by squeezing my eyes shut and trying to focus on the cats that needed rescuing. He revved the engine to life, and off we went.
The poor little scooter couldn't go very fast, and I could have sworn the added weight of my person was causing the back end to ride a bit low. We nearly bottomed out when we went around the roundabout and hit a pothole.
Oof!
I hollered in his ear by accident. Damn, my butt would be sore for days when I got off this thing. Over there! I pointed to the right, where Main Street branched off from the roundabout. Our scooter cut across the other lane, earning us a honk from Clyde, the tow truck driver I would be calling later, who'd just entered the roundabout and was in no danger of hitting us. Damn guy just liked to honk at people. I risked a glance around the broad shoulders of my stranger and saw a cluster of people forming in the middle of the street. Stop! I shouted, seeing that the cavalry had already arrived. The stranger pulled over and shut off the scooter. He got off, standing impressively tall, extending his hand to help me off. His palm held calluses on top of calluses. Clearly, he worked with his hands. I only tripped once getting off, those strong, tatted arms supporting me and giving me butterflies at the same time. I see my boss Lucy over there with her husband, the prison warden. They'll get the crew together and we'll round up the cats. Thanks so much for your help. I smiled up at him, my lashes doing a bit of a dance. What could I say? My lashes like to flirt a little.
I'll come with you. I know Bane.
Again, with that voice. Did he practice talking like he drank whiskey all day long? Maybe he did commercial voiceovers in his spare time. He could sell me anything anytime with that voice. If I'd had panties, they would have been wet with longing. I stuck my hand out, nearly jabbing him in his washboard abs. I'm Kiva, by the way. He paused, his eyes crinkling at the corners before he took my hand in his.
Link.
Oh. Even his name was sexy. All that lash flirting and all I could come up with was a lame response. Kiva? Lucy called my name, interrupting the deep staring going on between me and my new obsession, Link. I spun and walked over to the group, seeing that Lucy had gathered up her whole crew of friends. Lenora held baby Star, who fussed for her favorite blankie. Zero interest in the cats running around down below. Jaden juggled Red in his arms, a full-grown toddler so big he only needed one well-placed kick, and he'd be set down to run amok with the cats. Bane stood there glowering with Roxy on his right and Heston on his left, both clinging to his hands and trying to tug him in the direction of a darting cat. A very pregnant Amelia was already running across the street, chasing a cat who dared rub against her black leggings and left a swath of hair behind. Titus had three cats in his arms, running after Amelia, telling her to be careful. Charlie sat cross-legged in the middle of Main Street with his arms wide open, charming the cats to come sit with him. Crazy enough, it was working. At least 20 cats sat on their haunches, mesmerized by their new guru. Thanks for letting us know about the cat dilemma. We should have them wrangled shortly. Finny has a whole load already in the back of her truck. She's heading over to the society now to drop them off with Yetta. I've got some catnip in the back of Bane's truck. She paused, and her gaze went over my left shoulder. Hey, Lincoln. Welcome to Auburn Hill and all our craziness. Link and Lucy hugged. I'd never been so jealous of a hug.
Hey, man, did you do it?
Bane's voice rose over the cacophony of toddlers whining. Link brushed a hand over his chin, obscuring the smile I'd come to obsess over. There was dirt under his short nails, and normally that would turn me off. But something about Link getting messy with his hands made my insides ignite and melt.
Maybe,
he hedged. Bane tossed his head back and roared with laughter, clearly in on a joke the rest of us weren't.
That's awesome. Mission accomplished, bro. Now let's clean up this mess.
Lucy and I looked at each other with raised eyebrows. Sounded like Bane was up to one of his stupid dares. Lucy finally shrugged and tossed the keys to Bane's truck at me. Link snatched them out of the air.
I've got this. Hop in, Kiva.
Didn't have to tell me twice. I sprang into action so fast my boots creaked at the sudden change in direction. I hopped into the passenger side of the truck and directed Link around town as we found cats and put them in the back of the truck. We were at max capacity and heading back to the society to drop the critters off, when I saw one last kitty roaming the side of the road, just barely out of the flow of traffic and the roundabout. Over there! I shouted, pointing. Link yanked the wheel and cut off Poppy and her mail truck in the inside lane. She stuck her hand out the window and gave me a rude gesture I won't describe. Link hit the brakes, and Poppy veered around us, barely missing clipping our back bumper. She pulled to a stop while I hopped down from the truck, gaze laser-focused on the poor kitty shaking on the curb. Although, on further inspection, the cat looked surprisingly pink and not very cat-like.
"What in the Sam Hill is going on around here?" Poppy demanded from behind me.
I ignored her and crouched down to croon to the cat that probably wasn't a cat.
"Hey, pretty little thing, are you lost?"
The lump of pink with black spots shivered and then let out a mighty snort. She lifted her head and I saw a snout.
"Oh my God, it's a baby pig!"
Poppy leaned over my shoulder and almost made me squish the pig.
"First there are cats all over the place and now this. This town is going to hell, I tell you."
I reached out and let the pig sniff my hand. She didn't shy away, so I attempted to pick her up. She came willingly and even quit shaking as I held her to my chest. Poppy's hands went to her hips, her eyebrows drawn together like she hated pigs. How could anyone hate an adorable mini pig?
"I shall name you Spunky," I declared.
Spunky let out a pig squeal, and her thoughts smoothed over me like liquid love.
"Is that thing from the Cat Society, too?" Link asked, arms crossed over his chest, the sun sinking into the background behind him, lighting him up like a dark angel sent to Earth to lure women with his good looks and charm. Good Lord, that man was a fine specimen.
"Well, hello there, Mr. Handsome. I'm Poppy Strauss, mail carrier by day. Well, I can't tell you what I get up to at night."
Poppy winked lasciviously at Link. Poppy was flirting with my man. Well, not my man, but more my man than hers. The mini pig gently snorted, and I couldn't have agreed more. The sight was highly disturbing. Link smirked. I had to hand it to him for not cringing or outright laughing. I mean, Poppy wasn't a day younger than 60, and poor Link here was probably only mid-20s. She was barking up the wrong tree, though I kind of understood. That kind of prime man candy made a woman go a little batty. Link unfolded his arms in slow motion and reached out, wrapping his arms around my shoulders. He gave me a yank, and suddenly the mini pig was pressed between our two chests, bleeding out a warning signal at the changing cabin pressure. Link's head tilted down and blotted out the sunset. His lips hit mine, and I forgot to breathe. There was nothing shy about the way he plunged his tongue into my mouth, eating me up before I even realized what was going on. My head spun up to the skies, and I began to shake at the sensations pinging through my extremities. He was warm and tasted like that peanut butter whiskey I'd recently discovered.
"Got room for a third?"
Poppy's loud voice interrupted my best kiss ever. Damn, that woman was bold. And also, ew. I swallowed hard as Link reluctantly looked up from my face, his lips wet.
"We got the pig and three's all we can handle. Sorry."
And then he was on me again, his teeth nipping at my lips, his hand dipping down to grab my ass. The squished mini pig's snout came up to bop me under my chin, but still, I didn't lean away from that kiss. The whole town of hell could go up in stink bombs, and I'd be right here fusing my lips to this dark stranger with the banana yellow scooter and the abs I could count through his t-shirt. I shifted as close as I could get without climbing inside his skin, catching a faint whiff of rotten eggs. I had a sneaking suspicion Link caused the cat kerfuffle, which I normally would have protested, but he had helped clean up the mess. And the resulting escaped cats and the spoiling sperm sample had brought us together.
"That's okay. I have plenty of toys from the hardware store."
Link broke the kiss looking confused. I grimaced, knowing exactly what Poppy was referring to, and, quite frankly, I didn't need to know about Poppy's sex toy hobbies. Link's warm hands let me go, leaving both me and Minnie Pig whimpering. Poppy cleared out, and we hustled back to the society, before all the cats finished with the catnip in the back of the truck, and realized we were delivering them back to Yetta. The whole gang stood there when we pulled up. Yetta was counting each of her babies, and Hazel made sure they got extra wet food tonight as a reward for coming back home. We stood in a circle, chatting, the warm presence of Link right behind me more distracting than the way Yetta knew each cat's name without looking at the collars. Link breathed on my neck, and I couldn't help the goosebumps.
He brushed his hand against my hip, and I begged the universe to make everyone disappear.
"Dude, what happened to your bike?"
Bane asked Link, clearly done with the cat business.
"In the shop."
Link shrugged, and I could feel it since he was standing so close. Bane chuckled.
"Aren't you a mechanic?"
Link straightened, and my ears perked up. Yeah, what did Link do for a living? And why was he in town? And was he dating anyone? The kiss said no, but then again, that might have just been to get Poppy off his trail.
"I work on planes, not motorcycles, man. Minor repairs I can do, but not the big stuff. Some asshole hit me on the road last week, and I was lucky to walk away with both nuts intact."
Nuts. Sperm. Oh, shit. "Lucy!" I called to her across the parking lot where she was trying to get Roxy to put down the cat she was hugging like she intended to take it home. Her head popped up as I checked my watch. "I forgot to come back and take that sample to San Jose. They close in like 20 minutes. Lucy grimaced, and I felt awful. I told her I'd take care of it, and now I'd let her down. Oh no, she was already thinking of firing me. I could just tell. A warm hand hit my back, and the shiver told me who it was.
"I can take you."
I looked over my shoulder to see Link's disheveled brown hair and concerned blue eyes. "Yeah?" He smirked and dipped his head.
"Yeah, hop on."
His hand swept over his yellow scooter with the helmet hanging off the handlebar. Apparently, the gang had brought it back for him. Not to look a gift horse in the mouth, but will that thing get us there? I wanted nothing more than to be pressed up against Link's fine body for the next 20 minutes. But not if it meant dragging ass all the way to San Jose. My self-esteem couldn't handle it. He frowned at the scooter.
"It's a 50-50 chance."
I paused and then shrugged. "Good enough for me." I ran toward the clinic next door, careful not to jostle Spunky more than necessary. "Let me just get the sperm."
"The what?"
Link yelled back at me. Oops. Probably should have told him we'd be transporting some poor guy's sperm along with Spunky. Hey, if Link couldn't handle a little spunk and a mini pig named Spunky, he should just bail now. I came back out of the clinic holding both, wondering if Link would have hightailed it out of there. Instead, he was standing next to his scooter, the black helmet extended out to me, a leather jacket making him look even tougher than before. He rolled his eyes, but the smirk was there.
"Everyone told me things might get crazy if I moved to hell, but I hadn't expected crazy to be a hot girl with a pig and some sperm."
"That's how we roll!" Amelia hollered at the top of her lungs. Everyone else hooted and hollered, and if the cats weren't traumatized before, they were now. Damn, I loved my town. I bit my lip and climbed on the scooter. Link called me hot and liked my crazy, and if I got really lucky, maybe he'd find out later tonight that I didn't wear underwear.
Chapter 2. Lincoln. Bane had warned me moving to Auburn Hill, aka Hell, might be a culture shock, but I'd welcomed it with open arms. Lord only knew I needed something very different from what I'd experienced for the past 8 years. If I spent one more day in the damn desert, living on base with a bunch of assholes who I loved and fought with like brothers, while trying to keep my cool in combat situations no human should have to see, I'd do something crazy just to get myself dishonorably discharged. Thankfully, I'd kept my shit long enough to leave at the end of my second tour with my honor still intact. Settling in a small town like Auburn Hill sounded like paradise. Of course, my buddy Bane, a guy I'd grown up with but lost touch with when he went to college and later I went into the military, hadn't made things easy. He'd insisted that the only way to be accepted by the other guys in town was to pull a prank on my first day. I knew all about friendly hazing from my first year in the army, and I wasn't about to let some pussy prison warden get the better of me. Of course, I didn't realize until it was too late that I was pulling a fast and stinky one on an old lady. That didn't seem so honorable to me. But then again, I hadn't lived as a civilian in a while. "Make a left here!" came the feminine shout in my ear. I blamed the whole not-a-civilian thing on how I already had a hot girl on the back of my bike on day one in Hell. She could have been a serial killer for all I knew, but something about the way she'd cradled the mini-pig to her gorgeous breasts Made me think the closest she got to a serial killer was watching a detective show on Netflix while she squeezed her eyes shut with dread. She'd flashed those blue eyes at me, and suddenly, I'd found myself offering to drive her all over the damn state with a fucking pig tucked into my leather jacket. I made the left into a parking lot, the ridiculous scooter I'd been loaned making a groan that spelled future disaster if I didn't give it a break soon. The stamp of Kiva's breasts, which had been plastered to my back for a solid 20 minutes now, left me feeling cold as she unwound herself from me and hopped off the bike. Without a word, she ran to the building, intercepted a man leaving out the front door and trying to lock it. She jumped up and down, a wince with every movement. Normally, I wouldn't have noticed, but I found myself studying her intensely, trying to figure out what it was about her that had me giving a shit about her job instead of worrying about my own ass. The guy's shoulders dropped, but he led her back into the building, where she was gone for a few minutes. I checked the gas gauge and thought we might have enough to make it back to hell. If I had to, I'd get her home while carrying her on my back. Anything to keep her plastered against me. Damn, I really needed to get laid. How long had it been? I searched the night sky, jumping at every little noise, and there were a lot of them here in the city. Another reason Auburn Hill had sounded like paradise. Quiet. I needed a place to call home, and the little town set right along the ocean seemed like just the right therapy for a guy like me. A guy I'd served with for the last few years, and also my best friend, would be joining me next week on his quick leave. Figured I'd scope out the town and create a home base for whenever he was discharged, too. We hadn't said it out loud, but I think we were both looking to use the other as a crutch, afraid we wouldn't blend back into civilian life. At least if we crashed and burned, the other person would be there to clean up the mess.
"I can't thank you enough for hauling me all the way out here."
Kiva stood to my right, startling me. I hadn't even heard her approach, which was highly unlike me. Horns and chatter a street away had distracted me. "No problem." The words tumbled out, both of us knowing it had been a problem. First the cat roundup, and then the drive completely out of my way on the lamest transportation I'd ever had the unfortunate luck to drive. Kiva's lips curled into a small smile. I liked how she'd painted them red before she'd come back out of the fertility clinic and climbed on my bike, almost like she'd taken a moment to spruce herself up before riding with me, like she wanted to impress me. Consider me impressed.
"I was planning to meet some friends here."
She trailed off, biting that bottom lip I'd already gotten a taste of. Fuck. What was it about this young woman that made my gut clench? I should let her go and drive straight to the new house I'd rented. My focus needed to be on building my new life, not trying to get in the pants of the first girl I saw. Although her pants did look mighty fine on her ass. She frowned.
"You don't like animals?"
I tilted my head, wondering where that came from. I had her damn pig stuffed in my jacket at this very minute. No, actually. Animals are fine. Her face cleared instantly.
"Oh, sorry. Sometimes my mind reading is off when I'm distracted."
There was a lot to unpack there. I'd start with the obvious. "You can read minds?" She blushed, looking down at the toe of her boots before looking back at me, defiance straightening her spine.
"Some people think I'm crazy, but I really can read minds."
I'd seen some crazy-ass shit in my time, along with learning to trust my gut more than a multi-million-dollar piece of equipment. If my gut said run, I ran. That sixth sense had saved my life on more than one occasion. Who was I to judge this woman's intuition? Even if she called it mind-reading. "I don't think you're crazy," I said simply. She grinned so wide, I thought of what else I could say to get her to flash me another one. "Now what's got you distracted?" She shrugged, and it made her breasts bounce. I was a bastard for noticing. But cut me some slack. I hadn't seen breasts on the regular for 8 years. I was basically the sexual maturity level of a teen boy. Her grin turned positively flirty, pushing her wide grin out of first place in the list of best grins on the planet.
"I was distracted by you and this whole macho man in a leather jacket thing you got going on?
She practically purred.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?